96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Bronze Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for this last show of 2025. Can you believe it? Last show of 2025. So glad that you could join us. I hope you had a great remainder of your Christmas break. Enjoyed your Boxing Day holiday and so forth. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can call us on 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can catch us live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I have a very special guest with me today to help me review this year, all of its happenings or non-happenings. It's good, it's bad, it's ugly. And then to talk about the year perhaps ahead. And I have none other than the executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, the illustrious Candia Deems, is with me today. Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Right now, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I know you're busy. I know it's end of year and you got to get all that stuff in and what have you. But thanks for joining us. Because I thought if there's anyone that does a panoramic observation of the happenings in the country, it has to be you doing the work that you do and therefore provide a broad perspective on what we have observed or perhaps did not observe and what's been happening or not happening. And so again, thank you for joining us today. You know, I always like to start off even my own personal review of a period of time with what has gone right or what has been good or what has been positive or what has been progressive. And so any observations you would have made about 2025 broadly in the country, or even specifically in about the country in terms of what has been positive or progressive?
Very interesting question. You and I had this conversation earlier, and
right,
we do have a headline story today, and also our editorial today looking at the murder rate. You know, obviously we've written so much over the months and over the years about the high rate of crime, the high murder rate, particularly in New Providence. And one of the good news stories of the year is that there was a significant decline in the number of murders. Of course, you know, as is often said, and as is certainly true, one murder is one too many. But we do see that there has been a 30% decline in the numbers of murders. As of yesterday, according to the figures that we got from the authorities, we were at 83 murders for the year. And this compares to 120 that those murders were recorded in all of 2024. And so that is certainly something to highlight, certainly something significant to report. We've had, you know, one of two bright spots, I think, on the economy as well. I attended a couple weeks ago the opening of Royal Caribbean's beach club on Paradise Island, and of course that has been and remains hugely controversial. And we were able to see up close what we've been writing about. Many Bahamians still have a big problem with what RCI has done over there. But I do think that the creation of a significant number of several hundred jobs is something to note there. We have been told that there are quite a few Bahamian entrepreneurs who are doing business with RCI. And the significant concern that many Bahamians continue to have, of course, is that, you know, the tourists who are coming off of Royal Caribbean's ships will now be shuttled over, ferried over to that western end of Paradise Island. They will no longer be in the taxis, on the tours, going and taking advantage of the offerings that exist in New Providence. And one of the things that we did highlight in a recent editorial is that the numbers, and I don't have the figures right in front of me, I certainly can pull them up, but we're told that the numbers of passengers who will, in fact, go to that island and be accommodated there on that island is minuscule when compared to the total number of passengers who are expected to visit the port of Nassau. We're told by RCI that they're targeting 3 million visitors for 2027, possibly 4 million by 2030, and that the average number of guests who will be accommodated at that key, or rather at that facility on the western end of Paradise Island, will be around 1 million per year. So one of the things that we highlighted and pointed out recently is that, you know, there are opportunities for Bahamians to develop the tourism product, to take advantage of the millions of other cruise passengers who will be coming into port. Also, we know in Grand Bahama that Celebration Key is now open and providing an economic boost for that island. So I think that in terms of positive happenings, that those are certainly worth noting. The government consistently speaks about energy reform being transformational. I think that many Bahamians have not yet felt that. We don't know what to make of that because, as we have highlighted numerous times, we have not seen what they've entered into in terms of a deal on our behalf, but we can discuss that more.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you do point out three obvious, the murder rate reduction. And to be honest, my own sense is that that's not accidental because that drop is significant. It goes against a trend that we have observed in the country for quite so many years, even though we did have a period prior to the pandemic of almost three consecutive years of reductions. But this I don't think that it's accidental. You point out the Royal Caribbean project on Paradise Island and Celebration Key, both of which I tell people it's hard to have something happen in your economy and nothing counters that in the negative and then say the economy doesn't benefit from that. That's hard to say. The other thing is the government did see an improvement in its credit rating. Mm-hmm. We are still a junk bond, but it's still better than it was before. So it's headed in the right direction. And that would be attributed to the fact that our fiscal circumstances are better than they were pandemic, in the height of the pandemic, for sure, and that the economy is faring better than it fared at the last time we had the the review of the credit rating. And in fact, during even that last review, the credit rating agencies noted the Bahamas' outlook, economic outlook, was more favorable. And yes. So in broad economic terms, et cetera, there was some positives to report for sure.
Certainly. But we don't expect to see any robust growth reports when the final numbers come in. We know that for 2024, so it's going to be several months before we know what GDP performance was overall, right? We do know that for 2024, and that report came out in May. So we expect around in May we'll have the numbers for 2025, but the numbers for 2024 were showing that there was a 3.4% increase in economic activity. I'm looking at the numbers here, from $13.6 billion in 2023 to $14.1 billion in 2024. And that's the largest the Bahamian economy has ever been. But we know still that that is just not enough growth to get us where we want to be in terms of unemployment, in terms of just, you know, people's personal economic circumstances.
Yeah. And any recent growth in the numbers of like 13% and that kind of thing was really a reflection of an extraordinary recovery growth given the significant contraction in the economy. The last time the Bahamas had significant event growth that was of a significant nature was in the 90s, would have been around 1999, 2000, when we would have seen growth of the order of 7-8% of those kinds of things. And so, but overall, we've been back to pre-pandemic growth levels, which were around 2%, sometimes a little under, sometimes a little above, on occasions 3% plus, and what have you. But as you indicated, the country needs a growth of the order of 4%+ in real terms over a sustained period of time to be able to soak up the levels of unemployment that we have and to begin to restore some of that sense of prosperity Bahamians have, because maybe their wages get to find some improvement. You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it if you have 3% this year, 1.8% next year, 2.6% the following year, and so forth. You have to have a sustained period of 5 to 7 years of average 3.5-4% growth to help you get to where you want to go. And that's not in the books at the moment, but, you know, who knows? And so now, so let me see if let me see if there's any other positives that I could think of. Mind you, you know, in the way of announcements, there were positively announced things, whether that was the Grand Lucayan sale and redevelopment prospects, or the redevelopment of the airport, the funding haven't been secured for it, and these kinds of things. Ellen, as you indicated, energy reform announcements, et cetera. But those are not yet materializing, certainly not in an observable experiential way. And certainly, you know, it's just not something we see.
Absolutely.
So let's look at then what was bothersome in 2025 in the country as a whole.
I think the major story this year, and it's hard to pinpointed in terms of just one reporting of it. And the Prime Minister himself continues to acknowledge it, but it's the cost of living crisis, the affordability crisis that so many Bahamians continue to face. Looking at the numbers that have been coming out in recent weeks, recent months from the Statistical Institute, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, inflation has calmed, it's evened off. We saw in the month of July there was a slight increase, but we're not seeing, like, you know, really large jumps in inflation or the high level that we had around the pandemic period or just post-pandemic. But still, for so many Bahamians, their personal economic circumstance remains perplexing, troubling, very concerning, a high misery index among so many people. And I think that that is going to be what continues to plague this government heading into a next election. We expect, you know, sometime within the next few months or so. So that has remained bothersome, trying to get a handle on that. The government also acknowledges as part of that a housing crisis. So many people are finding it increasingly difficult, you know, to find affordable rent and other affordable options for housing. And that remains seriously troubling. Another major story, and it's a theme that we've been sticking to in our editorials, in our reporting, I don't think that enough attention is given to it in terms of, what people necessarily care about, because you and I talk about this all the time as well. It is the government operating in the shadows, in secrecy, so much secrecy that surrounds much of what our government is doing on our behalf, entering agreements that we never see detail. We never get details in terms of even announcements, much less the actual black and white deals being tabled in Parliament. And I think that this is something to be very concerned about. We reported earlier this year on the deal that was almost a done deal for the moorings fees in the Exumas earlier this year. And had it not been for a leak that was made to the media, that would have been basically a done deal without the Bahamian people even hearing an announcement on exactly what that entails, on whether there was any competitive bidding for that particular contract. And we've seen so many contracts this Davis administration has been entering without a competitive bidding process, with just sole sourcing, selecting contractors without explanation in circumstances that are very, very suspicious. And we as Bahamians should be very concerned about it. We carried an editorial yesterday highlighting some of these issues. The fact that 8 years after the passing of the Freedom of Information Bill, 8 years going toward 9 years, we have yet to have an established Freedom of Information regime should alarm all Bahamians. We should be demanding that government...
Why should Bahamians be alarmed if the Prime Minister says that's not a priority for him?
We should be alarmed. We absolutely should be alarmed. You know why? Because it impacts us. It impacts where our tax dollars are going. What it's, you know, it, there's certainly not that degree of transparency that we as Bahamians deserve. But I just don't think that we demand it the way that we ought to. And Bahamians ought to remember that we are powerful not just one day every 5 years. We are powerful every day of the term, but we just don't always know how to use our power effectively as citizens. So we need to ask ourselves, what is our government doing on our behalf? Why is the government refusing to answer questions? We pointed out in our editorial yesterday that it's been since earlier in December that we asked, I think it was only about three key questions about the Grand Lucayan deal. When that deal was announced back in May, we all remember the big fanfare, the crowds that were flown into Grand Bahama for this huge announcement, this huge celebration. The government of the Bahamas announced that from this moment on, the government and the Bahamian people will no longer be responsible for covering the costs associated with this property. But yet, the Bahamian government is still covering costs associated with Grand Lucayan when we're told the hotel is closed. We have asked of the Office of the Prime Minister why is the government still covering these costs? When the government announced so many months ago that as of that moment, that would no longer be the case, we've asked how much, if any, of the $120 million, which was announced as the sale price, has the government or the special purpose vehicle that was handling that sale received from the buyers? We've not gotten any answers in that regard. We've not gotten any answers on the so-called investigation the government claimed, the Office of the Prime Minister claimed it was doing on the moorings contract and the involvement of a member of the Prime Minister's communications team who actually signed that contract, okay? We've not seen. We don't know what our government has entered into on our behalf. For Bahamas Power and Light, we've been, you know, we got some sprinkling of information. No details. We have no idea what they have done on our behalf. This is egregious and unacceptable.
We have to take a break. But sticking to that point, when we come back, I wanted you to, because we started off with on the positive with a crime. One of the things we hadn't heard about, because as far as I'm aware, Prime Minister also indicated that an investigation was going to be done into some person or persons alleged to have been some political person involved with the arrest of a senior police officer who was indicted in the U.S. But I don't know that we've heard anything about that since. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join me as I'm here with the executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, Ms. Candia Deems, and we're talking about the year 2025, reviewing its good, its bad, its ugly. We talked about some of the positive things that absolutely took place, whether that's the significant reduction in the murder rate, or some of the economic projects that came on stream, like Royal Caribbean, celebrations in Grand Bahama. The government might tell you, and there are many who might agree with this, that there was the significant feeding of school children to the tune of, I think, 1 million meals, maybe, or something, or is it $1 million spent?
Over a million meals,
right?
Mm-hmm.
A million meals.
Yes.
Meals, yeah. And so among those things, and so we were then talking about some of the things that were bothersome in 2025. Now, Candia, we didn't mention this, but I mean, in that indictment of the police officer, senior police officer, and defense force officer was a huge story this
year.
Yes,
but that was last year, November, I recall.
Was it? It seemed like it manifested this year then, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you know, it certainly spilled into 2025,
yeah,
but it started, I think, around November.
Around November.
In 2024, yeah.
Right. It kind of faded in terms of its being out there. But I do recall that there was some indication by the PM to do some investigations into some allegations that were made in that regard. And I don't know that we'd heard anything else since then.
Yeah, on break, I was trying to pull up our reporting on this matter, and I was not able to find it. So I don't want
right.
to quote his specific statement in that regard without having it in front of me. But we all know that the whole matter, right, was hugely concerning. One political element of it had to do with not the fact that the Americans said that there was a senior Bahamian politician involved, but the indictment included a statement that was purportedly made by the senior police officer who was indicted, who allegedly said that there is a senior Bahamian politician who, for certain amount of money, would be willing to facilitate this drug trafficking through our island. So whether in fact there exists a senior politician who was actually involved, we still do not know. We only know that the indictment said what this police officer allegedly said.
Right. The thing about it is, on a few of the items that you mentioned in terms of cost of living, as an example, is that the cost of living issue is interesting because it's acute in New Providence because it has seen a rapid rise in recent years in above and beyond what New Providence is accustomed to. But in the Family Islands was always a problem, but then became even more acute for them relative to New Providence. Mm. And so now you have the whole Bahamas feeling the same thing. Now, what I find interesting whenever even people in the press talk about inflation is this. Bahamians in the public always talk about inflation as it going down and then associating that with some prospect of the prices going down,
right?
Which is a delusion.
But
because
the prices are constant, right?
Yes. What is happening? The prices rise with inflation, and then when inflation drops, all that means is the rise in the prices slow down. Mm. It doesn't mean the price goes down,
right? So they remain high.
Yes, absolutely.
They just don't get higher as fast as they
exactly.
were getting higher.
Exactly. Yeah. So for instance, if something you were paying $10 for rises by $3 every year, and so that this year it's $13, and then next year it's $16 and so forth, if it starts rising now only by a dollar, that doesn't get you below $10 or $13 or $16. It just means that you're adding a dollar now to $16 as opposed to $3 to $16.
Right.
Right? So you have a worsening problem that's not worsening at the same rate.
And for so many people, wages just remain stagnant.
Stagnant, exactly.
And
so that's the
one of
double whammy.
One of the accomplishments that this administration highlights is its early decision to increase the minimum wage I think from $210 per week to $260 per week. But even that has had such a minuscule impact on, you know, the people in that category that it is just not, you know, done enough for
well,
people.
Firstly, the minimum wage doesn't affect the majority of your labor, your working people, right? Because most people in the Bahamas make above the minimum wage. So that's something lots of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have such a, in quote, significant middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, most people aren't making minimum wage. So if you increase minimum wage, you didn't affect most people.
Right.
So and then for the people who get the minimum wage increase, and granted, any increase is great because it's better than a decrease and it's better than no increase. But what happened is you got that increase eaten into by your cost of living increase, your inflation. And so now you don't feel as well off as you might have felt if you didn't have this reality of a accelerated cost of living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, a lot of folks in, I mean, I want you to think about this for a minute, and I mention this often. If you are a millennial, you have never lived in a Bahamas with a sustained economic prosperity. You have never lived in it.
Wow.
For 20 plus years, mm-hmm. this country has not seen a sustained period of economic growth that made a difference to people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a millennial, that's you. If you're a Bahamian period, you have seen essentially a stagnant sense of prosperity. That's been your reality for almost two decades. And so this isn't about the Davis administration. This is about the Ingram administration, the Christie administration. From the Great Recession, this country's economy has not produced the level of robustness and dynamism that makes people feel this is, I mean, broadly speaking now, because there's some people doing exceptionally well in this economy, but broadly speaking, that I am better off, especially people who have leveraged their economic circumstances. They have lots of debt, and they are really living within a economic reality where there's no margin for much discretionary spending. So even what we do now, we're doing on credit, we're doing hoping we could chase down the money to pay the credit off and so forth.
And, you know, one of the questions that we asked recently in a piece we wrote, and, you know, it's that question that is asked around election time, not just in the Bahamas, because it certainly isn't a question that originated here, but it's really whether people feel that they are better off than they were at the start of this administration. And, you know, there are people out there who certainly would say, oh, yeah, I'm better off. Absolutely. Because at the start of the Davis administration's term in office in September 2021, right, we were still smack in a pandemic that was wreaking havoc. And so many people were still struggling basically with employment. But you know, heading into the next general election, it certainly is something that I think many Bahamians will consider. Many people would make their decision based on their own personal circumstances. And again, for many, we know that, you know, things remain considerably challenged for them. The latest, we don't get very frequent unemployment numbers. The latest numbers we have for the second quarter of 2025. So that takes us, what, around mid-year? And for the second quarter of 2025, we, according to the Statistical Institute, we were at 9.3%. And that is still high, even though it was...
That's very high.
Even though it was down from, I think, the 10.8% in the first quarter of 2025, right? But you know, it is still high. There's still many people who are underemployed, as the Bahamas National Statistical Institute has pointed out. And there are so many people who have wages that have just not moved in years, and they just can't keep up. And so this is going to be an issue that features, I think, prominently in the upcoming election campaign, or in the election campaign that we're already in, because we're pretty much already in that season, eh?
Yeah. But the thing about it is, and I think that this is, it's not a mistake, because it's almost inevitable that it will happen, but it can be distracting, right? To the extent that, so the government then looks at comments on the economy, the high unemployment, the modest growth, the high cost of living, the inflation, and these things. The government tends to look at that and get reactionarily defensive. Mm-hmm. That's understood. Almost every administration would feel that way. The opposition looks at that and pounces on it. It's a sign you're not doing something. I remember Prime Minister Davis, saying that the lackluster economic growth and the unemployment rate, these were things reflective of no vision on the part of the Minister administration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's either seasonal realities or something else, right? And then you have the same thing happen when others are in office. And I think that this is part and parcel of the political dynamic, but I think for people who are interested in helping to build and develop the Bahamas, the issue is, why do we have this persistence of lackluster growth, persistence of high unemployment, persistence of stagnant wages, et cetera? Why do we have that, so that that becomes the thing you address, as opposed to getting caught up in the dynamics of the politics at the moment, which is going to happen. There's no getting around it. But if you're me, for instance, as an economist trying to examine the realities of our situation and asking what and should be done about it, then you just kind of ask that question. You see, I don't day trade in economics. Mm-hmm. When you day trade in economics, you get a low unemployment, you get a lower unemployment rate, and you then go and pounce. Oh, it's because our strategy is working. It's the lowest it's been in 15 years. Then you get a high one the next year and you say, oh, it's seasonal. That's day trading. What analysts do is look at trends, because the trends tell you, well, you've been at 8%, 9%, 10%, 11%. You just have persistently high unemployment. Why? Mm. And that's what you want to address, because that fundamental force that's driving that is what needs to be addressed if you're going to stop day trading. And I don't think we've had that discussion. Mm.
I'm sure we'll segue to this a bit, but I was just looking. Sorry, I was a bit distracted looking at my list of. I went over our front pages since January, just to get reacquainted with some of the things that we wrote about. And because sometimes, there's a tendency to forget. I don't think that this year was particularly remarkable, a news year, although it's certainly not the norm to have a cabinet minister die in office. We saw it in 2023, in September 2023. I think it's September 25th, 2023, when Obi Wulshkin passed. And then we saw in September 28th, 2025, Vaughn Miller, both of them cabinet ministers, passed, triggering a by-election. So obviously the by-election was a big story this year. The governing PLP, as we now know, emerged victorious. Not incredibly surprising, because it was keeping with the historical trends of these things. We've never had a governing party lose a seat that it held going into a by-election. But if I may go over some of the stories that did make the front pages in 2025, and this is by no means the full list, because we would be here all day. But some of the highlights: we did get a new police chief.
Mm-hmm. First female.
First female police chief. And so she's been in office now almost a year. We do expect in another couple of weeks or so, she will be making her report on the year in crime and giving us some idea of what her policing plan is for the new year. So we did get a new police chief, our first female police commissioner. We mentioned already the cost of living being a major story, the fact that we've seemingly not had very strong and robust economic growth. We did see the election last year of President Trump and how that shifted even the reality here, and certainly across the globe. It's shaken markets. It's impacted trade relationships, not just for America and some of its major trading partners, but even for countries like the Bahamas. And I think in 2026, watching Trump's relationship with the world and how that impacts everything else is going to be interesting. We know that here in our region, there's a great consternation and
huge shakeup
even within CARICOM. We've of course gotten in our first ambassador from the United States in about a dozen years or so. That's Herschel Walker, who arrived a few weeks ago and has been making the rounds here in the Bahamas. We see that the $300 million U.S. Embassy, which I think is its flagship embassy in the region, has opened there at the corner of Shirley Street and East Street in the heart of downtown Nassau. And we've seen conversations growing and comments being made by the Americans on what they see as Chinese coercion in the Bahamas and in the region. And
so continuing conversations
in that regard. And so there's been a back and forth between the Chinese embassy officials here and the American embassy officials here. And the Bahamas has been caught smack in the middle of those conversations.
And Ambassador Walker's flagship issue coming to the Bahamas?
Absolutely. We've seen the Trump administration expressing concerns even about our relationship with Cuba and the contracts that we've entered with the Cubans, for instance, for our healthcare. The Bahamian government canceled its contract with Cuban doctors and other medical professionals and has said...
Was it canceled?
Certainly was stopped, and it has been revised, we're told. I don't know what the exact status of it is now, but it certainly is not the contract that it was prior to the Trump administration, right?
Wow.
And so this is going to be something to watch, how we maneuver the situation in terms of maintaining our traditionally strong relationship with the Americans and also our very warm and friendly relationship with China. Our decision, the decision of the Bahamian government to get that substantial loan from the Chinese to construct the New Providence Hospital, has also been a story of note in 2025. The Davis administration has not yet broken ground on that facility. So we'll see how that goes. In 2025, we also got a new president for the University of the Bahamas. And so UB has been making continuous strides toward accreditation.
Having been approved now to have the process itself
For candidacy.
Go forward.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so that was a significant development for our premier tertiary level institution. I also have here no bid contracts. We spoke about that earlier. And I think that that is something to watch because it has a lot, everything to do with what's going on, where our tax dollars are going, right?
I think attached, we're gonna have to take a break in a minute for news, but I think attached to that is the fact that the government has entered into a number of PPPs that defy the what I would say is the traditional format of PPPs. Ordinarily, a PPP is a private grouping providing funding for a public enterprise, public infrastructure, public project. And the basis of doing that for the private investor is I'm going to get that money back, whether it's money I put in as capital, private capital, or a loan I secured to do so, in addition to interest and or profits from the project. But the government has entered into a number of projects for which the revenue stream is non-existent.
Right. We spoke for about instance, that earlier, right, off air.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. We don't pay road. We don't pay road taxes in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. but you get a PPP for road infrastructure or something, right? You don't pay fees, user fees for community centers, but you have a PPP for that. How are these things going to be funded if not directly from the public purse?
And again, Shivago, again, who can we go to get answers to these pertinent questions? When was the last time you saw Prime Minister Davis sit down in a formal setting and take very direct questions, serious questions, from members of the media? When was the last time you saw that? When we do send serious questions in to his office, we are often met with silence. Who do you go to get answers? Who do we go to get answers to these questions that are in the public interest? You know, act as if they are governing and they're using their personal resources, that they're not handling our affairs and they're not making us, bringing us in on matters that we have a legitimate right to be in on.
We're gonna continue on that note when we come back from the news break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host here with the executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, Candia Dames. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Are you ready to upgrade this Christmas with Wendy's and Coca-Cola? Simply upgrade your premium lunch combo to a large. Fill out your receipt, scan the QR code, and you'll have a chance to win up to $25,000 in cash and prizes. Wendy's is giving away $1,000 cash prizes, an iPhone 17, Going Places travel vouchers, a staycation at Comfort Suites, and more. So visit your nearest Wendy's and upgrade today.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
Great Commissions Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commissions through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God's Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information, or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us for what is the last show of 2025 for ZLive.
Incredible.
Hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm here today with the executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, Candia Dames, and we're going over the year. We're going over 2025, and then we'll, later on we'll look forward to what 2026 might have to offer. I am actually surprised, Candia, you were going over all those big news stories. And I thought mine was on the front page that we moved from 2 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
that certainly was a major, major story this year. I almost showed up at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, there you go. I actually myself misled at least one client to come at 2 o'clock, because in the conversation, it was so natural for me to say, when they asked me what time they should come, I said, yeah, 2:10 is good. But we're going over the news stories. So let's go. Just a minute. I think we have some callers on the line. Actually, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, brother Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
Top shape, sir. Happy New Year to you, man. And
good day,
and
my friend.
And good day to Ms. James.
Good day.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm a 52-year-old Bahamian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me proud today to see people on the radio talking, really talking sense. You know what I mean? No biasness, just talking facts. You know what I mean? I think we have more people like yourself and Ms. Deems in all aspects of our Bahamas, we'll be a better place, man.
You know what I want to ask you to do? Because Ms. Deems and I speak about this quite often, right? Try to encourage some of these Bahamian professionals with all this expertise to come and dialogue about or express some thoughts about things happening in the country. That might be helpful.
I'll tell you the problem is, you know, Mr. Lang, at one point I was working for a financial institution, right? I was making lots of money, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was a concern with politics.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? I'm just going to wait 4 or 5 times a year. You understand me? And all my mom was making money. But then,
I got you.
When you get to the point where you have economic challenges, I mean, I'm not challenged. I won't say like that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you start being more concerned with what's going on.
I got you. And appreciate your call.
Yeah, you're talking about contracts, people getting contracts, nepotism, all these other stuff. So a lot of people who can do things, I mean, they grease. So they don't care what's going on, because as long as they grease. But they don't understand we are all in one boat. And if you're in the bow and the steering, when that bow goes down, the steering will go follow soon after, you know. We're in one boat.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you calling. Thanks for expressing your thoughts. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, Lang Candia. Candia, this is Paul Major. I just wanted to say thanks for bringing us a steady diet of views all during the course of the year, and all the best for the new year.
Oh, thank you so much, and so wonderful to hear your voice. I remember when we were ringing you all the time.
Carnival.
I'm sure you're not missing us.
they were good times. Mm. And Lang, I just want to commend you two for doing a great job of being informative, educational, entertaining. I think your show by and far is the best on the air right now. So keep up the good work, my brother. And I look forward to having a better 2026.
Coming from you, that's a really, really high commendation. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So you know what's interesting? I see that the Office of the Prime Minister has its own year in review and part one. And the stories that they highlight as the big stories are the national budget, which of course was delivered by the Prime Minister, who's the Minister of Finance, at the end of May, and energy reform, much of which we're still in the dark on. And they highlight the breakfast program being expanded, which is something that the Prime Minister likes to speak about. And we do know, just as an aside, that with economic improvement and expansion, we know and we hope that fewer numbers of Bahamians would be needing a breakfast program. But that's just an aside. They also highlight tertiary accreditation updates, which we just spoke to, and healthcare revitalization as being key updates in 2025.
Interesting.
There we go. And you know, we do know that there is some progress being made in the area of healthcare when we talk about the Grand Bahama Health Campus, but there's so many significant challenges that we continue to highlight and that the Bahamian people continue to highlight. Oh my goodness, with Princess Margaret Hospital, the inability of Bahamians to get the level of quality care that every human being deserves. However, healthcare revitalization is listed as one of the highlights of the year by the Office of the Prime Minister.
Interesting. You know, I say this often. I learned this. So this isn't a Zhivago Lang genius thinking. But I learned from a piece of reading that whenever somebody constructs a list, their strongest point is at the top of the list. And as they go on, the list gets weaker and weaker because they're straining to find those things that they find impressive.
Interesting.
If I asked you, and you just did it today.
Yeah.
If I asked you what stood out in your mind, you will go to top, then, and then as your list goes down, it gets weaker. Doesn't mean the things didn't matter, but they're not your strongest points.
Interesting. May I go back to my list?
Sure.
And again, this was kind of random, but much of it was chronological. Not all of it is chronological, but a good portion of it is chronological because I was looking at our front pages chronologically.
Yeah, this is the list you're going through now. I was talking, but when we spoke about what stood out,
what were missed opportunities.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Absolutely. I did not mention the SpaceX relationship that the Bahamas developed, and we did have a SpaceX landing of one of their rockets. Was it the rockets booster?
The booster that landed earlier
this year in Exuma.
It's not the rocket.
It's not the rocket itself.
It propels the rocket. Yeah.
Right. And that was hailed as, space tourism. But I don't know that that's a term that means what we think it means. And we had a controversial matter when we had one of the rockets disintegrate over our skies and fall into Bahamian territory. That was not launched from here. We had nothing to do with that specific rocket. But of course, that created a lot of concerns, that triggered a lot of concerns, and that fueled great controversy surrounding our relationship with the SpaceX program. And I do think that we need to pursue an update in that regard. But that was a story of note for us in 2025. On the political scene...
Sorry, before you go on, mind you, as far as I recall, the rocket landing story had attached to it a report of what occurred in the environment.
I don't recall us ever seeing that.
That's,
but you know,
that's the point.
Right. We're not a nation of transparency, as we have pointed out earlier in the show. We're not in an environment of, you know, you have access to things that you ought to have access to as citizens of the Bahamas. We could talk about that one all day. We continue to make our demands for open government and a society in which Bahamians have access to information that informs decisions that are being made on their behalf, and information that ought to be available for individual Bahamians to make decisions that impact them and their families.
But the Prime Minister, in his speech to Righteous Realignment just last week, said as much, that Bahamians deserve and are entitled to this information, particularly as provided to them by the press.
You want to turn this into a comedy show now, a comedy hour, because that's really all that
but,
is.
But I'm saying joke. That the PM agreed. He agreed with you that this is a part of a good and strong democracy.
Yeah, but agreeing,
you ask the question and you get the answers, and that helps the public to be aware of what the government is doing and to have faith in the institutions in the country.
Yes, but very sadly, what he says oftentimes does not align with what he does. He has demonstrated no clear and firm commitment to advancing a free press in the Bahamas. He has demonstrated no commitment to that. It's just hot air, okay? It's absolutely hot air. Answer our questions. Can we start with that?
And what bothers me about this is that I happen to think that transparency and accountability is actually good politics.
Absolutely.
Because I tell people, I mean, I can say, I speak on this show about stuff, and sometimes people text me, and they say, Shabab, you know, I admire your transparency, even if it's something to do with, you know, anything I'm doing. And I said, even if someone doesn't agree with you, if you give them an explanation as to why you think the way you think, why you did what you did, I think people prefer that above no answer or some cute answer or some coy answer.
Absolutely.
Or some arrogant answer.
Absolutely. And arrogance is the order of the day. I mean, that's obviously not unique to this administration, but there's just something about politicians, when they sit around that table, maybe the first meeting, they open some kind of closet and they just take out the drink, and then after that
let me tell you what happens. This is the God honest truth, and any politician out there who wants to contest this, please do. The reason you are not transparent about something is because you don't like what the answer is going to do in reflecting on yourself.
And you know, not
or your group.
To butt in here, one of the things that you always point out, and I always think about, and I always put in my work and my writing, is mm-hmm. that if you have good news, you ain't gonna hide that.
Absolutely.
So if I asked you as a professional,
how many meals did you feed to Bahamian children?
Over a million, according to our Prime Minister. So if I ask you, if I ask you as a media professional, 3 weeks ago I asked you, how much of the $120 million did you receive from the buyers, Concord Wilshire, of Grand Lucayan. How much of that money, if any, did you receive? If you received $120 million, you're going to respond. And you're going to say, listen,
right away.
We got
right
120. Away. If you got 50 million, you're going to say, listen, we got 50
and the rest is on the way.
But yep. No answer at all. Listen, if you are serious about putting in place a regime to make, people are calling for, let's pass a Freedom of Information Bill, or let's pass FOIA. We passed FOIA 8 years ago. It is enacted.
But
the government has sprinkled some money here and there for the FOIA office, but it's nothing that would make that a reality, okay? I can tell you, we don't even know right now if there's an information commissioner in place. He doesn't answer our calls any longer. And we don't get any answers from the Attorney General. Attorney General, could you tell us, Ryan Pender, whether today there is an information commissioner in place? Crickets, silence. That's a question I asked of him 2 days in a row. I've yet to get an answer. When we express some support for the recent controversial migrants legislation that they passed in Parliament, we got public praise from the Attorney General because we were agreeing with something that they were seeking to do. When we ask questions that they obviously don't want to answer, they're not going to answer it. Currently today, I sat down the other day and counted it. There are over 150 questions sitting on the agenda of the House of Assembly that this government has yet to answer, and I would be shocked if they give any answers because we're nearing the end of the term and they don't want to get into certain conversations. And we find that they've had opposition day in Parliament once or twice, and the times that they've provided answers, those answers largely have been a joke. They might as well have not have provided any answers because they've been inadequate. They've answered just to say that they've answered, but it's been largely not really any detailed answers on anything.
But FNM, PLP doesn't matter. If you're not getting an answer, it is because the politician does not like what the answer would mean for them in terms of popularity. As I like to tell people, popularity is the currency of politics.
Absolutely.
A politician with lots of popularity is a wealthy politician.
Absolutely.
One who doesn't have great popularity is a poor politician. So anything that affects the currency of politics, which is popularity, you can often find an attachment of answers to that one way or the other. Now, a statesman who is a politician who understands the role that he or she plays is prepared to give you answers. I tell you, one of the things that gave me, and I am speaking about myself, that gave me pride as a politician when I was in office, was Wendell Jones, Wendell Jones spares nobody when he's interviewing you on his show. And Wendell said to me, he says, one thing I can say about you, Zhivago, like, is that you do not duck questions. If you don't know, you don't know, and you'll say you don't know. If you know, you'll say so. And I think that's my role, and I learned it from Hubert Alexander Ingraham.
Interesting.
That the public is entitled, let me say it again, that the public is entitled to answers about their business.
Of course, absolutely.
It's their business. Can you imagine going to a lawyer and asking your lawyer, what did we do today in relation to my case? And the lawyer tell you, well, I can't tell you that right now.
That ain't none of your business.
Or don't answer you at all. Please.
It's ridiculous. You know, let's take the Davis administration entered with the subsidiary of Pi Corporation for Bahamas Power and Light we're told it's a transmission and distribution network for New Providence, right? And this is supposed to be such a fantastic deal, and it's going to be so beneficial for Bahamians. This, according to the Davis administration, is a transformative deal, and it's just gonna change so much for the better. We're going to have lower rates. we're going to, you know, it's just going to impact the economy. It's going to impact our quality of life. Well, this is such a great deal, such good news for the Bahamian people. Commitment after commitment has been made by Prime Minister Davis and those around him that they're going to make this deal public. And we've yet to see it. We're told this ain't none of y'all business. Y'all ain't need to see this. Y'all ain't gonna see it, okay? Can you imagine Hubert Ingram in office entering the arrangement, the deal, to sell 51% or 49%, I get confused now, 51% I think it is, of BTC, right? Mm-hmm. And telling the Bahamian people, You can't be in on knowing what this deal is about. Now, you know, whether or not the Bahamian people agreed with the deal is a whole story. Other thing. But yeah, could you imagine Ingram telling the Bahamian people, this ain't none of y'all business, just trust that I've made a decision that is in your best interest? It is absolutely unacceptable. It is absolutely ridiculous. And these are some of the things that the Bahamian people need to really think about as they decide who is going to be responsible, who is going to receive the honor of governing our affairs in the next 5 years. These are some of the things that we need to think about.
And to think through, even if I'm going to, if let's say I don't like what's happening now and I'm going to change, why would I trust the other people to provide me with this level of transparency I don't get now? You know what's interesting about the Pike deal? This is what is interesting. I have some trusted private people I speak with who absolutely think that it can be transformative. But they think that, but you can't get the information from the government about what is done. So I'm saying, they think it's a good thing, but the government acts as if giving you the information might reveal a bad thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I find that interesting.
And
we have a call on the line. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. And good afternoon to Ms. James.
Good afternoon.
I'm enjoying this conversation. I didn't catch it from the beginning, but so far, you know, I enjoy the fact that you are a respectable journalist in this country. And what I really wanted to say is that how is it, or do you think it's possible for people like yourself, because a lot of young journalists out there, they don't seem to be able to carry the news or do the reporting that you senior journalists does in this country. And when I said, you know, there's others amongst you like Steve McKinney and who highly, you know, I respect you highly, and there are a couple others, but I find out that the other young journalists don't really know opinion now, don't really know how to pose certain questions to these politicians. I am under the opinion, even though I'm not a journalist, that if somebody, like if it's a politician, like let me say in the case of the Honorable Keith Bell, when all of that dispute was going on with him and this immigration or illegal immigration situation, I think the questions, the hard questions should have been put forward to him. And normally when you put a mic in the politician face right at the spur of the moment, you'll know their real true feelings and you'll get their real answers. And I think the young journalists, for some reason, they don't know how to really master this. And I'm wondering if you, as a qualified journalist and as a senior journalist, could somehow maybe have some impact or influence on the way these young journalists pose their questions and the way they conduct themselves. Thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thank you very much for the question. Well, you know, people say these journalists need to be trained. These young reporters, they need to be trained. And I tell people, well, that is what we do every day, you know, mm-hmm. being on the job every day, getting the experience every day in the presence mm-hmm. of, you know, more experienced and senior journalists is a part of your training. I mean, it's something that we continue to work toward. We do have a dearth of talent in media in the Bahamas. I started 30 years ago with under Ed Bethel and Daryl Miller Wendell Jones. I was very, very fortunate to have these individuals as mentors and news directors and editors. And I learned so much from my years with Darrell Miller. I mean, it was a wild and crazy time and some experiences that I would never talk about. But I mean, I watched them. I saw the hard work. I saw the passion. You know, nobody can really teach passion. We can encourage, you know, the development of potential when we see that potential. And that's one of the things that I try to do with younger reporters is just try to encourage them to bring out the potential. But, you know, it takes each individual being committed to their own growth in order for mm-hmm. them mm-hmm. to actually grow and for the members of the public to get the kind of quality journalism that they deserve. I think that in my whole time in media, I mean, since I was 18 years old, I've never seen the current quality of media that we have is the lowest that I've ever seen. And that's not a knock on what we do here at the National Guardian, because there are certain standards that we have that we insist are met and are kept. And, you know, we have a small team and they do work hard and we do encourage them. And one of the things that I say all the time is, listen, you don't need to be intimidated by these people, these individuals, our leaders. Just inform yourself, read, understand. I mean, at this point in my career, I'm still constantly on the phone with individuals who I trust to help me understand issues, whose perspective that I trust and I look to. I'm constantly on the phone with Mr. Lang. We talk almost daily about issues. What you think about this? What you think about that? Mm-hmm. And we don't always agree, but all of that helps in the growth, and it's something that we continue to encourage here at The Guardian.
It takes, and to my mind, and then you're the journalist, you can tell me, it takes courage, it takes curiosity, and it takes commitment, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that I'm happy about is that I entered media on the tail end of an era and on the start of another era. And I think that just helped my career. Even when I started with Wendell Jones in 1995, we had typewriters in the newsroom. I remember when we got some some computers in there, and I remember when we got the internet. Those were exciting times. But we had to walk to our assignments. We had to sit through Parliament.
This was a new enterprise. Trying to find its way.
Absolutely. I remember catching the bus from Mount Pleasant Village to read Wendell Jones 7:30 news on a Saturday morning. And I think there was just something special about the hustle that helped with growth. And also having those kinds of individuals just to feed off, you know, and to sit at their feet.
We can take this next call, but I can tell you one thing. I can tell you this. You don't know this, but I can tell you this. Boy, they used to say, that can't be a damn soul. She coming at you. Because you weren't asking shallow questions. You weren't intimidated. You were asking probing questions, and you either answered or your businesses can get you up.
Yeah, because we were taught that you don't need, and, you know, people always say, well, you aren't scared of these people, but we were taught that, you know, you don't need to be intimidated by people who are elected to handle your affairs.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Why you be respectful, absolutely, but you don't need to be intimidated by them, especially if you are well prepared. And that is one thing that, you know, we need to work on.
Being we have a call on the line. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Good day.
Hi.
Yes, good day, Mr. Lang and Candy Adams. Y'all are the best, simply the best.
Thank you, my friend. I
want to say this. I want to final something. Can you final from Ms. Candia Dems? Can you final why is government still allowing liquor license to be issued out? That's one. Two, why can't nobody could get to speak to the commissioner of police? I went to try to speak to her to find out why she still issuing liquor license. Mm. And like all of her defenses, just like all the guards up, you can't get to see her to find out nothing. Like if you go to any government agency, everybody is totally lost. I am very, very passionate about my country. But all of these liquor licenses, there's just too much liquor stores in this country.
But sir, let me say, I understand. I hear what you're saying. The commissioner does not issue liquor licenses.
No. She has a part to do with it because
they have a role to play in the process, the inspection process. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also a process that you go through to file whatever complaints you have, right? Because the commissioner, she's not going to spend the whole day entertaining members of the public. But I do get your point. I do find her accessible. That I've had to call her before, and she has answered.
She's not to the public.
But let me also say to you, don't waste your time going down the wrong path. If you have a genuine the concern about liquor licenses, you should be writing the Minister of Finance, who happens to be the Prime Minister, because he is responsible for the licensing authority in the country.
Oh, that's a waste of time. Oh.
Well, then, the Commissioner is going to be... If you think writing the Prime Minister is a waste of time, going to the Commissioner who can't do nothing about it
That's what I'm trying to say, sir. Not that you're not wrong. You're totally right. But to go through those people, you will never get nothing done.
Understood.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your calling. All right, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Shivago. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Ms. Candia Dames.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Dames, let me just say that it's a breath of fresh air to hear your voice on the airwaves. Many of we as Bahamians miss your investigative journalism as you did back in the day, and just to hear your analysis of what is actually occurring with us publicly today is, like I said, a breath of fresh air. You know, it is going to be a feat for many of the things that Bahamians have been calling for in terms of correcting policies and everything, to really see a real critical eye being placed on these things to bring about fair and balanced commentary. You know, some persons will turn around and actually use your words as you being biased and stuff, but it is something when you have one or two persons that can really be really objective. You know, your credibility speaks volumes, even though in the past one or two persons would try to discredit, you know, your fair and balanced commentary. And I must continue to commend you to keep on pressing forward to bring about these things, because this is what inspires people to do the right thing. And this is what has been missing so much, not just in journalism, but what has been missing in just ordinary life on the whole. So I just wanted to call just to say, congratulations. Keep on pressing for truth, because truth brings justice. And with justice, I think we can turn the Bahamas back on the right path on where we're supposed to be going. So I just want to offer that commentary. Thanks for taking my call, Shivago.
And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Candia, we're going to take the last break, and then we're going to finish up your list after that break. But let me say this to you, because I'm glad the caller raised it. As someone who has been in frontline politics for years, not now, but for years in frontline politics, who's seen administrations come and go, and has been a part of administrations that come and go, I want to say right now, today, that anyone who suggests that Candia Dames is biased, has some acts against or angst against a political party or the other, let me tell you something, you are absolutely wrong and or incorrect and or telling untruths, because there's no way to observe your commentary over years regarding any administration and to draw the conclusion that she liked this one and not that one. That's my objective analysis of your body of work over the years. So you didn't say that. I wanted to say that.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to say just quickly before we go to the break that one of the things that I am looking forward to in the new year is the return of National Review. I'm focusing my thoughts in that direction, and that we are having those conversations internally. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to finish up the list. We'll be back after this break.
Who's had Burger King Nassau, SpongeBob SquarePants? That's right, splash into any Burger King Nassau location and try the all-new SpongeBob Whopper. Flame grilled beef patty topped with SpongeBob secret sauce. All the fixings you love on a yellow sesame seed bun. And kids, dive into a BK Kids meal and get a fun SpongeBob SquarePants character toy no matter your age. SpongeBob Whopper combos are waiting for you at Burger King Nassau, where flame grill tastes better.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clark's and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza. What a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza. Stop by today and explore.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Erin Green wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful final show of the year. I'm here with executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, Candia Dames. Okay, so Candia, I have one more call.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the call, and I'm saying to the caller, please be brief. And then we'll finish our list. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Langs, Alan Johnson. Yeah. My name is Candia Dames. I just want to thank you, Candia, for the journalism that you put forward. I just want you to know that you are one of the stars in our house. You know, I think you may be familiar with my wife that writes in, Eden Mary Johnson.
Yes.
And I just want you to know that when she decided that she wanted to write, she asked me, she wanted to become involved and be known. And she asked me who to study. And when she began to read your work with the two Kellys, Nikki Kelly and Catherine Kelly is what she has observed and used your style and desire for information. So that was a good motivation for her. But I just want to tell you there, your reporting over the years, I've been home for 25 years, and I have been impressed with it, and I thank you. And I just wish, and I was calling actually to ask you about National Review,
yes,
to tell you if you could bring it back twice a week. And I just want to say thank you so much. And we, I enjoy your unbiased, balanced request for information. And I thank you so much for your advocacy for some of the very things that the Bohemian public need, especially myself.
Well, thank you so much,
Sir
Alan. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And to be called in the same sentence even with a Nikki Kelly is humbling. So thank you very much for that. And happy holidays to you.
11 minutes to finish the list.
Oh, okay. We were going through some of the stories that made our front pages of the Nassau Guardian in 2025, and I got, I think, maybe halfway through. There are many other stories that that were on our front pages. These only some of the stories from the political scene. This wasn't particularly exciting to me, but, you know, it was of note. Iram Lewis, the MP in Grand Bahama, I think Central Grand Bahama, quitting the Free National Movement and joining the Coalition of Independence was a story that made the front pages. He's not been particularly vocal since that happened. But, you know, it was of note nonetheless.
Or before it happened.
Or even before it happened. No nomination for Dr. Hubert Menes. Oh, how sad. That was a story that...
Were you surprised?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, he's still there trying to remake himself and to portray himself as being... relevant. Unfortunately, that is creating still some trouble within the opposition party. And it looks like it's going to be a 3 or 4 or 5 way race down in Killarney. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So Dr. Minnis's difficult relationship with the leadership of the FNM continued to be a story in 2025, though we've not placed much focus or spotlight on Dr. Menes because I think his time in politics has ended. But obviously the Bahamian people will make the final call on that come election day. We also had the fire. Let's say sticking to politics. We obviously a big story this year, I think we mentioned earlier, was the passing on September 28th of Vaughn Miller from Golden Isles, the environment minister, that triggered a by-election in Golden Isles, which interestingly tested the temperature, the political temperature of the country. I think not a big surprise that the PLP pulled it off. The big story from that election really was the very low voter turnout and the significant voter apathy that was on display. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the voter turnout is in the general election, because we do know that traditionally in the by-elections that we've had, voter turnout tends to be a bit lower than in the general election. By-election was a big story this year. We also had the passing of Rodney Moncur, who was a hugely controversial type of a host, but beloved by many Bahamians. We also had the passing of former Senator, the Honorable J. Henry Boswick, this year. I mentioned previously our reporting on GDP growth, which was 3.4%. Of course, that was for 2024, but reported in 2025, we had that was touted by the government as a major story for Grand Bahama. In fact, our headline was Grand Day for Grand Bahama. That was back in May. It was the announcement that Grand Lucayan has finally been sold to reputable buyers who are going to invest almost $1 billion in returning the magic to the Magic City. We do not know right now what's going on with that deal. There seemed to be some trouble that is brewing. We will continue to ask the questions. We will continue to point out OPM's lack of a response to our questions, and we'll see how it plays out. Government targets BERT budget surplus. We do know that in May, Prime Minister Davis, who is the Minister of Finance, had what was seen as a major announcement, and that is that we're going to have a surplus, that this is actually targeted surplus, of $75 million in 2025-2026. I personally do not think that Prime Minister Davis is going to go into another budget period in May without calling a general election. I don't think that they want to go into another budget period, but we'll see.
I agree with you.
We'll see how that plays out. And whether this $75 million deficit that's projected is actually achieved, it will take some
time.
Surplus. Yeah. So sorry, Prime Minister. Surplus. And also of note was pay raises for civil servants. We do know that some disagreement between the government and the public service unions led to some protests around in October or thereabouts. Things have quieted down. I think that they've since been paid. Also a major story this year, and I would admit, even though we've been writing about it, and I struggle to write any editorial about John Kanu because it's such a confusing situation, trying just to keep up with what's happening with, you know, the Valley Boys and the.
Let me ask you a question. If you had a bicycle that you were riding and it was riding, maybe it ain't in the most perfect shape, but it was riding. You know how hard it is to try to make the bicycle ride better than riding.
Child, listen to me.
I don't know. Me and you confused alike.
So Junkanoo was a major story this year. We did have a successful parade last week, but still, was it last week? You know, the period between Christmas
Boxing
and
Day,
New
Boxing
Year's.
Day, Boxing
the
Boxing
period
Day,
between
yeah.
Christmas and That's New Year's week. Is always confusing. I don't even know what the day is.
No, last week.
But you know, there were still some substantial concerns raised about the actual parade, about the ongoing delays. We have the same conversation, it seems, every year that surrounds these parades. But it was very, it was wonderful to see Junkanoo happen after all that had happened this year, all of the controversy that ensnared Junkanoo. So that definitely made the list of significant stories this year. We were spared any major hurricane in 2025. Thankfully, there was some impact from Hurricane Melissa, minimal impact. We also had the flooding situation from the tropical storm that impacted some of the islands, including New Providence. I previously mentioned that we did get a new U.S. ambassador. One of the stories that I wrote about this year was the report from the Auditor General on the Food Task Force that vindicated Susan Lawson and the team that led that food program during COVID. And those are the main stories that I have on my list. I mentioned earlier the election of President Trump last year and the shifted reality that's impacting us here in the region. We could have a whole show about that one.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. maybe next year when time permits, you can come on and maybe some of these 2026 issues we can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. The outlook for 2026 is a different, a whole other show, right?
Other show, yeah, absolutely. This text says, good day, Zhivago. Excellent show as usual. I too want to commend Ms. Dames for her professionalism and journalism over the years. She is a shining light, and as a professional Bahamian woman, I am proud of her. Shivago, I too want to commend you for being our voice of reason and truth on a weekly basis. May God continue to bless you and family, and all the best to you both for the new year. Thank you very, very much, and the same to you.
Thank you very much.
You know, I can be at the work you do, the work we do as hosts, if we take the job seriously, requires a great deal of effort, a great deal of time, a great deal of thought, a great deal of research, so that the responsibility we have, we can take on with the kind of seriousness that it requires. And so I know the many times we've communicated, even sometimes up to midnight or after, trying to talk about issues or discuss issues and so forth and so forth. So again, I join everybody else in commending you for the work that you do.
And I thank you. And I thank you for always being a phone call away in helping to steer me or educate me on certain things. I always try to make sure that I don't always lean on my own understanding. And I always tell younger reporters that being smart is knowing what you don't know and knowing who to call to find out what you don't know. And absolutely. So that's one of the things that I do. And I thank you so much. And on behalf of our publisher and our executives here at the Nassau Guardian, I thank our listeners who have been so loyal to us, obviously our sponsors and our advertisers, our readers, people who still read the actual newspaper. I mean, you know, that's a big deal for us, that people still want to hold and read the actual newspaper. In 2026, we will continue to build our digital product, because obviously that is what it reaches so many thousands of readers all over the world, and we thank them all for continuing to support us in our work.
And ZLive listeners, thank you so much, so much, so much, so much. We do what we do because you guys are probative. You are, many of you, you provide intelligent contributions to our discussions. You direct us in ways that help us to do what we do. Thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you very, very, very much for all of the steadiness with which you contribute to what we do here. So guys, I want to wish you all a very, very happy new year, man. And we come back next year. We do it even better. God spares life. All right. You've been listening to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, on behalf of Candy Adams. Once again, thank you very much for listening today. God spares life. We'll talk to you again in the new year. Do well.